Just wanted to do two quick things in the homily. The first is that wonderful reading at the beginning of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul starts off, he's in a confluence with the Corinthian community, the Gentile community, and of course they have all these Greek traditions and they are looking for wisdom, right? They're not quite at the level of the Athenians, but they're certainly looking for philosophical wisdom. And of course, here comes St. Paul preaching the cross, and that means suffering. And what is he preaching? That suffering is the power of God, and therefore that suffering is wisdom. Now, in Paul's culture, you have two main kind of philosophical camps that are dominating the wisdom tradition of the Greeks, Epicureanism and Stoicism. And they don't hold this about suffering at all. The Epicureans, you know, these are the guys who, you know, the pleasure guys, right? All right. The Epicureans hold, okay, suffering is completely worthless, right? There's nothing to it. There's no value in it. You can't, it's a pure negative. It's a black hole. So what can you do with suffering? All you can do is compensate it with pleasure. You had a bad day? Have three scotches. Things will be better. Had a bad day? Go to the banquet. Just go to the vomitorium a few times and eat all you want. You'll feel better afterwards. You had a bad day? Find some pleasure and compensate for it, because suffering is worthless. Of course, the Christians don't have that view, but that's a big part of wisdom, the wisdom of man, the wisdom of the philosophers that Paul is talking about today's reading. But then there's a second group. Now, the Stoics, they didn't like the Epicureans, really. I mean, the Stoics basically thought, you know, at the end of the day that the Epicureans were grotesque kinds of people, you know, just all they did is mire themselves in pleasure. And the Stoics were much more about self-denial and becoming strong, kind of the soldier's philosophy, if I can put it that way. And of course, their idea was, okay, suffering doesn't have really any value in and of itself, but it could do something to make me stronger. So let's think of Stoicism along the lines of what does not kill me makes me stronger. And stronger for the Stoics is good. Stronger doesn't have to serve any end beyond itself. To be strong, to be elevated above mediocrity is good enough. It's an end in itself. That's it. Now, if you look at it that way, of course, you know, you can say to yourself, well, okay, it's good to be strong, you know, and so forth, but not the Christians. Christians didn't hold that. They didn't think that strength alone was the reason for living. They thought love was the reason for living. And that changes everything. Because if love is the reason for living, if trying to make a difference, a positive difference to somebody or something beyond yourself is a reason for living, if truly eternity is a reason for living, if trying to help people get to their eternal destiny in unconditional love is a reason for living, if alleviating suffering is a reason for living, even if you must suffer to alleviate suffering, right? If this is the reason for living, then suffering has a huge intrinsic value, because suffering detaches us from superficiality. It, you know, gets us to start thinking, right? When we're suffering, we think, you know, well, maybe I'm not living for the highest purpose. It calls us, it gets us questioning. Suffering has so many good good uses, right? Beyond just that, suffering helps us to empathize. As Paul says in the second letter of the Corinthians, chapter 12, suffering helps us to be humble, and humility undermines narcissism. And humility is going to be the strength of love. So of course suffering, in as much as it helps us to be humble, is going to help us to love, and that's going to be help us to become authentic, help us to get higher purpose in life, help us to empathize with the sufferings of others, help us to be compassionate, and above all, it just gets rid of our own self-idolatry, bam, and it calls us to authenticity that we need God desperately. And in needing God desperately, we need to move, as it were, let him into our hearts. We must deepen our faith and our trust in him. Suffering can call us to deeper faith. No suffering, says Paul. Now that's real wisdom. If love is truly the epitome, it's the end of life, as Jesus has said. And if the unconditionally loving God has called us to an eternity in that unconditional love, which Jesus defines in the Beatitudes, if that really is the reason for living, and I think we all know in our hearts, in our minds, and through the revelation of Jesus that it is, then suffering is not foolishness. Suffering is not some net negative. It is something that can be turned into something so incredibly positive. And at the end of the day, much more, for we can offer our sufferings in self-sacrifice, joining our sufferings to those of Jesus on the cross, so that God will take our self-sacrifice as an act of love for the world and give it away for the world's redemption. We can offer it up. Noble suffering, the height of Christian wisdom, and of course the foolishness of the philosophers. But God's wisdom is so much higher than any wisdom of man. In the light of his unconditional love, that wisdom makes suffering an ultimate intrinsic positive, so that we can inherit the fullness of non-suffering in love forever with him. That's pretty profound, that St. Paul, I just gotta tell you, amen.